night. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night. Plenty to talk about tonight, and we're taking your phone calls as always at 333-2665. Peyton Manning has announced his retirement.
Hooray.
And the Indiana Hoosiers are still your outright Big Ten champions, and do it in even more emphatic fashion, beating Maryland at the Assembly Hall on senior night yesterday. 80-62, didn't waste a whole lot of time, got behind a little early, but took care of that before halftime, and then continued to put the screws to Maryland for another 30 minutes after they got the lead and took out the Maryland Terrapins. And that's five straight to end the season, six of your last seven, including four wins against ranked teams. Everybody pointed to this end of the schedule as being the difficult part of the schedule, rightly so. It was the most difficult part of the Hoosier schedule. But Glass, the question we keep asking about this team, and we had to ask it because the last couple of years it hasn't been this way, is this team going to get better throughout the course of the season? And when they left Durham and Cameron Indoor Stadium, they had hit pretty much rock bottom, but from that point forward, they continued a relatively steady upward climb. No one was entirely sure how they would end against the best and hardest part of their schedule. Turns out they're ending higher than when they started this hardest part of their schedule. They're playing as well as they played all year, and it's not even close.
Yeah, you might not ask them to play better at the end of the year. You might ask them just to continue playing as consistently as they have been. And as Joe mentioned in his reports before we came on, three of those closing wins of the five were Iowa, Purdue, and Maryland, all teams ranked and have been ranked all season long. And the win on the road at Iowa to win the league, that kind of told you what you needed to know. You don't win that game, who knows what happens against Maryland. Yep. Things get a little bit tight there. But Indiana didn't have to worry about it, and they did it without some injuries, or did it with some injuries that we talked about in great detail last week. But great performance on senior night. It was the first win on senior night in five tries. Mm-hmm. That's a bizarre stat when you think about it, but those are some of the issues we had talked about. How do you finish the season? How do you finish the season with those opportunities in front of you? Because it's not uncharted territory. They were in that situation last year where they had opportunity and mm-hmm. didn't take advantage of it because Indiana wasn't playing their best basketball at the end of last season, and what a difference a year makes. A large roster overhaul was part of that. The development of Yogi Ferrell making the leap forward as a senior point guard, as a leader, and as a player was huge. And again, Yogi didn't get off to the best start this year either. Nope. Yogi hasn't been cruising all year long. Mm-hmm. That hasn't been the case. So to see Indiana put it all together at the end of the year and take care of Maryland. And remember, and this isn't a knock on Indiana at all, Maryland was 0-19 on the road against ranked teams. Yeah. Indiana did exactly what they've done to everybody that's come to Assembly Hall, and it's put it to them pretty good. And the only team that really gave them a good fight, well, I guess Wisconsin did to a degree. They hung around. Iowa made a raucous comeback. Purdue made a raucous comeback late. But again, Indiana's offense, Dave, makes teams so uncomfortable, and they just keep scoring and scoring and scoring. You take away the three as Maryland try to do, and they blow by you for layup after layup mm-hmm. after layup, and they're hard to stop, especially when they have their featured players featuring. Another career-high tying performance from Troy Williams. That's not going to hurt Indiana. Troy doesn't mm-hmm. have his tying performances when Indiana's losing.
Nope.
He has his career-best performances
their differentiator
when they're winning.
Yeah.
And you saw plenty of the reason why that was last night. And Maryland, they remind you of an old ACC team. They just don't guard you real well.
Yeah.
They're more in that they want to make just as many shots as you do. They want to get up and down the court just like you do. But mm-hmm. they obviously don't have it put together. Turgeon spent more time yelling at his bench and his players than anything last night. They struggled yesterday afternoon or yesterday evening. They struggled. Why? Because that's what Indiana does. If you don't keep up.
Makes it hard.
Now
they're doing it on both ends of the floor, which they weren't early in the season.
Maryland had more shot clock violations and free throw attempts in that game, it seemed like. And it's probably not too off base because they only went to the line eight times. They had at least five shot clock violations, and that's off the top of my head. I didn't even have to pen and paper that game after a 17-point lead, 57-40, mm-hmm. perhaps a couple minutes in the second half. Troy hits 100 layups in a row, and the game's over.
Yep.
They come out and hit layups.
Yeah.
Layups.
I mean, with Troy Williams is going to the line 10 times, and it seemed like all of them were in the first 3 or 4 minutes of the second half. I said on Twitter, it's not the good Troy or the bad Troy tonight. It's a great Troy.
And Troy that's working.
It's been this way the last couple games, and it's hard to say with him whether this is the upward trend or whether this is a nice little trend here for a couple games.
And the tough part about Troy.
But if it continues upward, again, he's a different. century.
Right, but how many times was he on balance going to the rim last night? Just a couple. They were off balance. A lot of those went in. Yep. And there's been a lot of nights where they don't go in. So
he has been going more to the basket as opposed to across the lane.
Right, that doesn't mean all of them.
Reversey
scoopies and through the laners. But he's unguardable, and the point is when he starts going, everybody else has to move. And Maryland,
so aggressive.
And Maryland did a terrible job. They couldn't figure out we're going to give him the baseline, we're going to give him the middle. They just let him go.
Yeah.
And when you let Troy operate down there and you give Troy simple decisions to make, basketball is really easy for him.
Mm-hmm.
When he's not forced to do anything out of his comfort zone, it's not a hard game for him. And you saw it last night. That Suleiman and Lehman, all those guys they're athletic and can play.
Absolutely.
This isn't Eastern Kentucky State Tech.
Look, you could easily argue that team has the most talent in the Big Ten and by a nice little margin too. And they certainly were figured that way at the beginning of the season. They wouldn't have been picked to win the Big Ten.
They had plenty of experience coming back. They had a big transfer in Duke from Suleiman, and he scores 2 points.
Carter kid with some Georgia
Tech. Two in each half.
Think.
Right, and again, the game's not played on paper. If the game was played on paper, Indiana would have been done when James Blackman Jr. got hurt, because if you had to take all that paper and stack it up and say, what is Indiana going to do here on this paper, it's not. It's about figuring out strengths. It's about attacking other teams' weaknesses. It's about playing to your strengths. And the one thing that gets lost that you don't hear a lot of people talk about. Everybody knows Indiana scores a lot, but they kind of forget why. Indiana doesn't take 15-foot jump shots unless it's Yogi Ferrell. Yep. They take layups or take threes.
That's it.
Yeah. And you know what? When you make more than you miss, really hard to beat, because those are very high percentage usually shots, because usually the three-point shots are taken by the correct people.
Right.
But I've pointed
this out. And they're all the correct people
right now.
All five starters.
I've pointed this out all year long. And I don't want it to end. Don't take this the wrong way. When Thomas Bryant goes through his legs twice and steps back and nails a three, and Max Bielefeld shoots one from 25 feet, and a guy's running out with a hand in his face.
What are you going
to
do?
And Hartman hits one with a hand. Guys are running at him with a hand in the face. They're making big shot after big shot after big shot. They're impossible to guard when that goes in. Impossible.
Yeah.
And you know what? Bielefeld hit one or two. Hartman hit one.
Yep.
Bryant hit one. But when did they hit it? When the run was being put
on
in the half.
Yeah, that's right.
And the three to end all threes, Troy's got nine guys on him in the half. Sure, it goes in.
Why not?
It's gone in all year long. Why would it stop going in now? That's how you win Big Ten championships, because who are you going to take away? Who are you going to stop? Who are you going to force? Who are you going to do? The defense Maryland had it on Williams in the half was perfect.
Yeah, it was.
He was dead.
Pushed him
away.
He
had two guys right there, and he had to hit a fadeaway 23-footer.
Run up to the top of the key.
And it was a great piece of talent. And shoved him away from where he wanted to go, and he nails the shot. And Indiana's made a lot more of those this year than they've missed.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of it is by design. Getting Hartman's three on the break, that's by design. Hitting Bielefeld's a trailer on the break, that's by design. Yogi pulling up for three, that's by design. And again, it wasn't a stellar last year. Maryland came to town and Indiana put 18,000 three-pointers on them. This year they put 18,000 layups on them.
Eight of 21
after the three-pointers got the lead and stretched it.
Sure.
Then it was layup after
layup.
Then
they had to come guard them.
And you know what that is? It's comprehensive. That's beating you any way. You took nothing away, and you stopped nothing.
And it's sharing the ball. And this is an unselfish team, and it has been pretty much all year long.
Assist numbers go up when you make them, Dave.
And you know what? It's become unselfish on the defensive end, too.
It
buys into the team effect. We got to take a quick break, but we'll talk more about that when we get back. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. The Big Ten is announcing their awards, and Perhaps not surprising, Tom Crean is your Coach of the Year, also your first team Big Ten Team of the Year. Denzel Valentine is Player of the Year, but Yogi Ferrell and Jared Utoff were also unanimous to the first team, and A.J. Hammonds and Nigel Hayes rounded out the first team.
I would take
media
that five
and coaches
anywhere
Absolutely.
In the country and play anybody at any time on
it's
any
balanced,
gym,
it
on
does
any floor.
Everything well,
and I think
and
the,
shoots a hell out of the ball.
I think they do have some requirements on the balance of that team where they're not going to put four guards on it. They do look to have a post power forward type guy and balance those positions out. So Yogi Ferrell, obviously deserving, but Denzel Valentine is the first player in 20 years to lead the conference in scoring and assists.
Yeah.
He had 9 double-doubles, 2 triple-doubles.
And look, Hoosier fans, we can easily make the argument Yogi could be over Denzel because they won, and he didn't miss 4 games like Denzel did. But look, Denzel Valentine was fantastic, so it's really hard to argue against him.
I don't think you would cut either one of those guys.
No, it's really hard to argue against him, but it sure would have been nice. Second team, no Hoosiers, Malcolm Hill, Peter Jock, Mello Trimble, Bryn Forbes, they were all unanimous to the second team. The coaches voted in Siobhan Shields. The media voted in Matt Costello.
Media got that one right, Siobhan
Shields.
Waiting
to see if you'll get Troy Williams or Thomas Bryan or someone like that in somewhere. I imagine Troy might make a third team if they announce it, but those are some of your awards for now.
They will have a third team, and I'd be shocked if Bryan and Tom and Williams weren't on that one.
Tom Crean, your coach of the year. And again, since they left Cameron Stadium, Cameron Indoor Stadium,
this
team
was
a complete disarray.
How about down 16 against Notre Dame 2 weeks later?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have it figured out in the first half of that game, that's for certain. They came out pretty well, but then they stunk up the second half of that first half of the game and into the second half. And yeah, they did. They looked like they were in disarray.
And the three-point shot saved them. Bailed them right out because why? They make them. And when you make them and the other team stops making them, you've got obviously some problems. And that's Indiana's pressure. It's offensive pressure. The defense has gotten better. There's no doubt about it. The defense has gotten better for multiple reasons. Number one, Thomas Bryant got caught up on the speed of the game.
Yes.
Not enough to play 30 minutes a night because he still had silly foul problems. And he still gets into silly foul problems because he's still a little reachy grabby.
Yep.
And that's okay. But again,
the defense wasn't his strong point when he got here.
No, he didn't. He was probably told to stand underneath the basket his whole life and swat shots and grab rebounds. He wasn't taught how to guard pick and roll. He wasn't taught to move his feet. But once he started learning that, you could see that he's athletic. He's not a stiff. Yeah. So once he got how to move and move in the right spots and anticipate, we talked about that last Wednesday a little bit with Hartman. Mm-hmm. When you're not quick, you have to be anticipatory and you have to go to spaces and not into guys. When a guy dribbles, you can't go into him. You have to beat him to spots as not to commit more fouls. But Bryant was only playing about 20 minutes a game in the Big Ten because of said foul problems and everything else. That helps. Why does it help? Because he's long. And then you throw in Bielefeld, who's thick. And then you throw in OG a little bit, who started giving you some minutes, who would clog up things and pester shots at the rim and pester guys at the rim. Those things weren't being exploited or used in Maui. That wasn't the case at all. And once Indiana figured out these guys, they gave him an inch, they took a mile. Mm-hmm. And how do you stay on the court? You do what you're told to do. You play your role. And Bielefeld did that. Bryant started to get better at it. But OG and Juwan Morgan, can you name times on the court where you said, get them out of there, they're killing us?
No. I mean, you got a couple turnovers.
Yeah, and they're going to get those, especially on the road in the Big Ten. It's hard to win on the road, as we're told. But
and again, part of this.
That's why this team's winning.
And you can argue this till the cows come home, but part of this is bringing them along at decent speeds and not rushing them into it either. Thomas Bryant, you had to get in there right away. He's a talented kid. He had to be in there right away. He had to learn. And clearly, through the course of it, he learned immensely. I mean, just his pick-and-roll defense the last couple games has been night and day compared to what it was earlier in the season. He's showing, he's getting back. He's, as you said, he's caught up with the speed, so he's not messing around out there on the guard after he shows after him. He gets back to his guy. The whole team bought into all that. They bought into the continuity. They bought into the communication. They're also switching on just about everything. You know how much everybody runs the high ball screens nowadays, so that's been huge. Heck, yesterday we saw 5 guys that were 6'7" or taller all out on the field, and Juwan Morgan was a close thing to your point guard for a couple possessions, but it bought into the defense, and we all knew the defense stunk early in the season. We didn't know if it would sink or swim off of that defense, but that's part of it. It was night and day, and in this last couple games, and especially yesterday, you watch them. They made everything hard for Maryland, and Maryland's a very talented offensive basketball team, but they didn't get anything easy, and you could see the frustration early.
Nope, and the question's never been at Indiana. That's been the thing. They're 17-0 to finish the season, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Joe said this morning, at home they've done the business at home. And again, when you get effort, that was a part of earlier in the season, Dave. I don't think you could sit back and say, "Well, that team's getting after it."
No, not in the beginning of the season.
But what you see last night is there's 3 minutes ago and Indiana's up 15. A guy rolls the ball out, and here comes Yogi
and Yogi's
flying
diving
into it. Diving into it. That's
away.
What a senior does,
exactly,
and that's
right.
That's buy-in. Yeah. You can talk about heart. You know why a lot of coaches like to talk about heart? It's immeasurable.
Yeah, you can't define it.
Again, you can talk about effort. You can talk about all these other things that you don't put on paper. Now, you watch the film, and you can talk about heart and effort completely. But how many times did you see that happen in the first month of the season? You didn't. You were playing teams that you were so much better than talent-wise. There weren't times you had to get after on the floor. You're up 32 points. Who cares? Mm-hmm. But they bought into it. They figured out they were going to go somewhere, Dave, when they stopped giving up uncontested baskets. They could choose to do that, and then their offense would have to be perfect. We saw this last year. Indiana's offense was good last year. Right? Mm-hmm. Shot around 48, 49%, 41, 42% from three. Really good numbers. But what did they have to do? Every single night, they had to shoot it well because they couldn't stop anybody in the paint.
Exactly right.
They couldn't stop anybody dribbling to the basket. They didn't rebound as greatly as maybe you'd like. Well, you get three new front court players this year, four new front court players this year. You switch out the tires. You put on some tires with a little experience, a little tread that aren't a little slippery, not hurt. Not injured, not have to play small, not have to play guys out of position. And, oh, my gosh, that's better.
Yeah.
And it should have been better. I don't think anybody can argue any of that. And the other point before we hit the break I wanted to get to, you talked about sharing the basketball and how everybody believes in helping each other, team defense and team offense. When the ball goes in the basket, it's a lot easier to share it.
Sure.
There were times last year where Yogi kind of took the show over because he was tired of passing. The guys were open, missing shots.
Right.
At some point, yeah. You can't give them – you've missed three in a row. I can't go to you the fourth time.
Yeah.
Because we got to score here. We're down six with 2 minutes to go. I can't pass it to you. I've got to take a chance.
Yeah.
I've got to go. And people weren't happy about that. Well, the thing not to be happy about was the level of talent.
Right.
It wasn't working. You had Johnson and Blackman that were hyper young. You had Zeisloft in there. They didn't know what to do with them. Zeisloft talked about that in a senior speech last night. He's like, hey, these guys believed in me when I didn't believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
We had to find a way to play him and get him playing.
And they had no inside game. Let's keep that in mind.
They didn't. They had Perea.
Colin Hartman ended up starting a bunch of games at center.
They had Colin Hartman,
yeah.
Hannah Perea, uh-huh. who was in and out hurt.
Holt.
Emmett Holt, who gave you 12 minutes a night tops,
yep.
who isn't half the player that OG is.
No.
That's a bright surprise because I couldn't tell you that a month ago.
Nope.
The only thing we saw was the Haunted Hall of Hoops. I told you he was the best player on the floor that night. But I saw that from Bobby Capobianco as well when I did that.
That's
so,
right,
again,
exactly. You never know.
The point is they didn't have bodies in the front court, and they didn't have consistent play because two of your three wing players were true freshmen. Blackman went 1-for-9 as easy as he went 6-for-7 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he shot it. You could see he's got absolute talent shooting the basketball.
No question. But
Robert Johnson got an ankle injury. Couldn't play. Wasn't shooting. Yep. Robert Johnson had three or four games where he disappeared.
Oh, and Hartman was playing center and coming off a knee injury in April.
And there
before.
You go. And he made it back faster than anybody thought. Who else are we forgetting from that rotation?
Stan Robinson?
Yeah. Who was taught to shoot right-handed free throws
he
to
had
start
to change
the year.
His hand
hey, Stan,
and
here's
still
what you're
going to
do.
Yeah.
And that's how the season started. And to see that team have to have a complete overhaul and turn around, there's no reason why Tom Crean isn't coach of the year. Some people will argue, well, they were 15th or 14th when the season started, and they're ranked 10th this week, so did they really make any large leaps? Well, getting there is half the fun. If they would have just kind of 27-8ed it all year, 25-9ed it, where you win some you shouldn't win, you lose some you shouldn't lose, you could argue, okay, that's what it was. But here's the deal. When you lose a 16-point game score, that's a big deal. When you lose a guard that plays 33 minutes a night and he can't play the last three or four games and you have to win on the road at Iowa, that's a big deal. And you're beating teams at the end of the year who are in the top four of the league, one on the road, one at home. Purdue, they end up being the four seed after beating Wisconsin last night. You win all three of those games. Guys, you got to throw your hands up and start giving some credit out.
Absolutely.
That's what happened because they played themselves into it. Did they have the easiest schedule for a while? They sure did.
Sure.
And there's nothing that can change that. But you know what? They still had to go out and play the game. They still had to do it. And they found a way to get better. That was the thing. The constant knock was, why don't these teams get better at the end of the year?
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
the simple reason was
they did.
The last 2 years was easy.
Yeah.
They didn't have the talent to get better.
Mm-hmm.
They had you can name the two seniors.
Well,
right?
Again, this team, keep in mind.
Well, he was a senior 2 years
as
ago.
As you mentioned, this team this team is injured at this point in time. So not only did it play its best ball, arguably, in its last two games, one of which was on the road, both of which were against ranked teams, but it did so minus two players, and with Juwan Morgan going out of both of those games and Troy Williams going out of one of those games. So it continued to do it. one of which, again, on the road, down four guys for a period of time, where it had its own attrition, and it didn't seem to miss a beat.
You know, they didn't miss a beat because the three seniors didn't miss a beat. That was the thing. Who was a senior class last year? Who was senior day? You remember off the top of your head?
No.
See, there you go. That's IU basketball right there. Yeah. If you don't have any senior leadership, it's hard to win.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, it was Sheehy and who else? I mean, I'm not bagging on Kyle Tabor or one of these guys, Jeff Howard or somebody I'm leaving out for that.
No.
But the point is, there was a reason it fell apart. Mm-hmm. There was a reason it didn't stay together. There was a reason they didn't get things figured out collectively, because they didn't have the maturity to do so. It's hard for a sophomore to do that. Tom Crean, in August of this year, I just want to put this in perspective because I think this tells the fuller story. He came out in no uncertain terms and said, I don't have any leaders on this program.
No leaders.
I don't have anybody in any class leading anybody right now.
Yep.
He said that in August in Indianapolis at a speaking engagement to the varsity.
Yes, he did.
That tour they always do. That's not my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's what Tom said. So for it to change that quickly, and what, 2 years ago, Yogi's getting busted with Stan Robinson trying to get into a bar on Little 500. Those are facts.
Yep.
The journey. The 4 years, the fighting. Yogi talked about that in his speech last night. I'm looking at you, Troy. I'm looking at you, OG. Family fights. That's what they do. They're close. They fight.
Mm-hmm.
So they got something figured out.
Yep.
And it's not perfect, and no one asks it to be perfect. It doesn't have to be college football, Dave, where you have to win every game.
That's right.
It does now.
It does now. But you get several months to work on it.
But you get some times to work on it, and it got better. And I think that is the greatest takeaway. The two greatest takeaways for me, you had a senior class that you leaned on, and they didn't collapse, and it worked no matter where you got them from.
Yeah.
All these places, you got here last month, you got here 2 months ago, you got here last year, you got here 2 years ago.
You may not like the way it happened, but that's roster management. It's just at the last minute.
And sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah, and
it worked out. And sometimes you get Evan Gordon.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yep.
And when it all comes together, you can come back and kind of laugh at it like we're doing, because to the victors do go the spoils, and they earn themselves into this conversation. Yogi has earned himself, which I think is a little tough there, saying one of the all-time greats. Quinn Buckner was on some really good basketball teams.
Nobody's saying he's better than Quinn Buckner.
No, he's not, but they're asking if he should be included in that conversation. The point is, in August, you'd never have thought that.
No, he was part of
two
outright championships. So we got to give Yogi some credit.
Yes, we will. And then if we want to give it
– nobody's putting him ahead of the top five.
If we want to give it fairness, he was also on a 17-15 team and didn't go to a postseason
nobody's
tournament.
Nobody's putting him in the top five yet.
Then they shouldn't, because let Yogi be Yogi. He's been special, and it doesn't we don't have to decide right now.
Yeah, but Hoosier fans love to compare it to other people.
And I can tell Hoosier fans to go fly a kite if they're wrong. Let history take care of itself, and let history write this out, because – why do we want to talk about Yogi's legacy today when there's a Big Ten tournament to play for and a national championship opportunity to be taken? I think that's a little silly from everybody, but my job's not to sell newspapers.
Got to enjoy it.
Kits. That's not
gotta
what we
find
do.
A way to enjoy it, because I'll tell you what, down the stretch here, he made two big plays. You mentioned the one diving in. How about the one where he jumps up in the air against 3 6'8" guys and taps the ball to Thomas Bryant on a rebound?
Because it can.
On a defensive rebound.
Because it's effort.
6 foot, out fighting guys from Maryland. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. A couple quick notes here for you. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, it is Joe Smith Sports Talk. He will have J.R. Holmes of the South Panthers. He has several seniors joining him also tomorrow night. Also, he will have Terry Morin, the IU women's hoops coach, and now Indiana has swept the Coach of the Year honors in basketball with Terry Morin and Tom Crean, both named Indiana coach or Big Ten Coach of the Year, rather. And just out, the last couple things here, Thomas Bryant was named to the All-Big Ten freshman team. Ethan Happ was your All-Big Ten freshman, which again, redshirt, whatever. But he did have better numbers overall.
He did, but he's a redshirt. He's on campus for a year.
Exactly.
He got to practice against Frank Kaminsky and Nigel Hayes all last year. You think that's not an advantage?
That'd be better than doing it against Huntington Prep or wherever he was.
Well, there you go.
Max Bielfeld, selected by the coaches as the sixth man of the year in the Big Ten. So that's a great honor for Max, who was obviously, I mean, Michigan cast him aside, and he found some great improvement here at Indiana University. He was a huge part of this
and
team.
And even made some starts down the stretch.
You talked about the seniors. I mean, having the senior leadership at some point in time is so important, and yet you've got Zeisloft, who didn't know where he fit in, really, and that's fair, coming from where he did, and probably not at the talent level a lot of these kids are. And then Bielefeld, the same kind of situation. He came in just in the summer. So these guys, I mean, you can't really – it's not like they grew up through the ranks. They showed up. They did what they can, and at the end of the year, they're huge contributors for this team.
Yeah, Max was freshman of the year for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Newcomer of the year. Yeah. There you go.
Nick was our sixth man.
Well, Nick was the Hap Award winner. He'd been here a year and got a chance to get his feet wet. But it's, again, if you bring in kids that think it are smart, and Zeislav's words last night during his senior speech were very telling. Tom saw things in my game that I didn't see in my game or knew I had. He gave a lot of credit to his head coach of making him develop, making him believe. Again, we saw nights when he was 1-for-8 and Crean couldn't wait to say, shoot it more.
Yeah.
That positivity. I gave you the Butch Harmon analogy a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Guys go work with Butch. Butch doesn't sit there and tinker with your swing. He says, you're awesome. Go beat him.
Yeah.
You can do it. You can do it.
You can do it.
But that's part of it. Some guys tell you, hey, keep working hard. You got to do this. You got to do that. And some guys make it come out. That's why it's Coach of the Year. Keep checking these boxes off, folks. It's not hard to figure out. Max Bielefeld in 4 years in Michigan was a really nice, okay player.
Yeah.
If he wasn't playing for IU right now, we'd probably say he wasn't very good.
I think Zeisloff scored like 6 points a game in the one or two years he played at Illinois State. He wasn't lighting it
Max
up for Bielefeld Illinois State
made
like
11
Aaron
threes.
Harris was at West Virginia.
Max Bielefeld made 11 threes in his career.
4 years.
And he's got 30, I think, after the couple he hit, or he's got 28 or 29 of them. But again, those are things that you bring out of players, and that's why you win basketball games. Plus, Zeisloft has been here for a year. He understood as a senior what didn't happen last year. He had a front row seat to a lot of it. And again, he could have stayed the course, or he decided that he could get better. Bielefeld came in. Again, Yogi said he played on 3 championship teams at Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, 2, and then the 3rd one here, rather. So he knows what a decent locker room looks like. Mm-hmm. Might not love the coaching staff up there or how this all went down. That doesn't even matter now, but he's been around winning. So you bring him in, and he thinks, well, what's the big deal? Here's how you do it. Let's go. And he performed. The guy you hate's a guy that talks about winning. That's the guy that just you don't have any time for.
Right.
Bielefeld went out and got in every fight at 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah, just go do it.
Hey, let me just back you down. I'm going to shoot this little hook shot over you. And if you don't, if you're going to leave me out there, I'm going to knock down some threes. I'm going to grab some rebounds. When the nights are cold and we need something to go, I'm going to go do it. He learned his lesson about trying to force it a little early, I think, in Maui.
Look, we talked
about found a role, Dave, and seniors accept those things, and that's why good things happen.
We talked about him at the beginning of the season. 333-2665 is our phone number if you'd like to call in. And the idea was, and I think everybody more or less kind of agreed to this, is let's see what we can get out of him as a backup to Thomas Bryant when Bryant gets in foul trouble, because we all know a freshman center, especially in the Big Ten, is going to be in some foul trouble. Let's see what he can do. Can he do the right things on defense, get in people's way? He's not going to block shots, but he's just got to play solid defense, maybe get a couple rebounds. Turns out he's a scoring threat from all over the floor all of a sudden.
I mean,
it's a little absurd, but it's still, he's shooting three-pointers, and he's good at it. He's down low, and like you said, he's making some nice moves. Yeah, he travels every once in a while, but so does everybody.
Yep.
But again, nice hook shot. He's getting inside. He's got the shot fake.
But you never had a look at a game where you said, Max, quit it.
Don't
You're
do all
us.
That. Yeah, exactly.
You're killing us. Max, and we talk about this because we're on the air twice a week, but how many times this year, whether it was at Minnesota, at Michigan, at home to Iowa, at Iowa, where the lineup of Max,
OG,
Morgan, Zeisloft,
yeah, something like that, yeah, exactly,
Yogi
right.
Johnson, and throw any of the other guys in there,
yeah,
and that was the lineup,
mm-hmm.
3 seniors. There's that common thread. Mm-hmm. 3 seniors. What did they do? They make one extra pass.
They made up for the mistakes that had been happening. they settled things down.
But that's
my
point.
They defended better. They made better decisions.
And
everybody
bought into it. They didn't talk about it at a press conference.
Right.
They didn't talk about it on social media. They went out and did it on the road in the Big Ten. And yeah, Minnesota stinks. I get it. But Zeisloft had to hit 4 out of 5 threes in the first half, so Minnesota didn't get their first win against Indiana trying to win the league.
The all-defensive team is in. Yogi Ferrell made first-team all-defense.
Absolutely. No-brainer.
Jared Utoff, Raphael Davis, A.J. Hammonds, and Ethan Happ.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I think Utoff had a lot of blocks.
He did. And he had stretches there where he had 24, 12, and 4 at times.
Yeah.
And again, smart player. ran out of gas late in the season. The whole team did for Iowa just because, well, they didn't have enough bench. They didn't get what Indiana got. They didn't have guys that could give them 12 to 15 minutes a night. They didn't have four or five of them where they could rotate them out differently and get somebody. Again, the omelet joke's always great. It's ham and eggs, man. You make an omelet taste great. Ham and eggs are okay by themselves. But if you get a guy, OG didn't have to do it five nights in a row. If he did one, and then Morgan did it and Max did it two, and Zaitslav did it two, you didn't have to count on them. And when you don't put expectations, when you don't put pressure, when you don't put uncomfortableness on young kids or even seniors,
let them have a role.
Performance happens.
Let them have a role. And that that was the big part because, again,
that's why it's coach of the year.
The two freshmen, other than Bryant, Morgan and Anobi, you can look at some huge key moments they gave you, and a lot of them towards the end of the season, you know, in bulk, because they didn't have to do more than they're capable of doing right now. They both showed diverse skill sets, but you got some better than others every night. That's pretty normal, especially for a young kid. But again, as you said, you didn't have to count on them. They didn't have to be great. They could be good at what they do well right now. You could get out of OG. You could get the positioning. You could get the athleticism. You could get a rebound. And they both could hit a three. You don't want them taking eight of them.
Indiana,
but you allowed them to do what they can do right this minute.
Indiana was easy to guard last year.
Yeah.
They were easy to guard. You make Troy dribble, and you stay in front of Yogi.
Mm-hmm.
If Blackman got hot, you take your chances. Because like we said, he had enough nights that were forgettable, that were just as rememberable. Robert Johnson really didn't show that confidence night in and night out. Colin Hartman, again, coming off the knee, surviving. Perret didn't give you anything on the inside. Indiana was easy to guard last year. That was a huge issue with it. Mm-hmm. Raphael Davis, A.J. Hammonds came in here last year with Purdue.
Yeah.
You're back to Hammonds, defensive player of the year this year.
Yep.
Davis, defensive player of the game last year. Got dump trucked for 19-point.
Yep.
19-point lead at Assembly Hall. With the last two defensive players of the year in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Offense, defense. Which one would you rather have?
Yeah.
It's a good argument and a fun one in this new day and age of basketball. But the point was that Purdue team came in here last year with a very thin front court for Indiana. Hammonds had 24 points, 16 rebounds, 37 block shots. Haas had a million. Davis had hit the big shot at the end, hit every other big shot. Yep. This year he had 4 points.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hammonds had a decent night. I'm not going to kill Hammonds for that because he played all right. Got a little foul trouble.
They were fine, but he was in trouble.
But the point of the matter was when Indiana's – they're not easy to guard anymore. They're not it's not an easy shutdown. And the best players defensively in the league, according to the coaches, got ran over. 40% of their lineup, black and gold, players of the year defensively. The last two seasons, down 19 at one point in the second half because – the offense is better than the defense. That's the truth, Ruth.
Got to score the ball.
Got
to score the ball.
If you're not like Purdue, where you get every rebound and contest every shot, there's other ways to skin that cat in the Hoosiers. 15-3 did it 15 of 18 times against some really good teams.
And again, when you left Cameron Indoor, you never would have said that.
12 minutes
ready
to go.
Fire everybody.
12 minutes to go at Banker's Life.
Including the entire roster.
That
Tim Garl was hanging on for his job at that point.
I don't think that's true.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, again, tomorrow, live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana at 6 o'clock, it's Joe Smith Sports Talk. He will have J.R. Holmes and the 6 South Seniors as they are sectional winners and move on to the regional, which we will have for you Saturday, 9:30 a.m. Chalk Talk and 10 a.m. tip-off as South plays New Albany. Oh, that's kind of a big, tough game.
Well, let's see. South has won 15 or 16 in a row. I can't remember. And New Albany has won 20 in a row.
That's a whole bunch.
Well, something's got to give.
Also joining Joe tomorrow night is Terry Morin, the IU women's hoops coach. Also a Big Ten Coach of the Year, as Coach Tom Crean was named Men's Big Ten Coach of the Year. Yogi Ferrell was a unanimous first-team All-Big Ten. He was on the first-team All-Defensive Team. Thomas Bryant made the first-team Freshman Team. And Max Bielfeld was your sixth man of the year in the Big Ten, as voted on by the media. So some great honors for the Hoosiers. Well-deserved. 15-3, your Big Ten champs outright. They are the number one seed. The number four seed will be Purdue, interestingly enough, in the Big Ten tournament. But we have Wednesday to talk more about the Big Ten tournament upcoming and the entire postseason. But a gentleman who played his last postseason and his last season altogether, Peyton Manning, named his or announced his retirement from football today, and reports where he was kind of hemming and hawing about it. But I think everybody wanted to see Peyton go out on top and be done at this point. It's been a tough couple years with injuries and certainly some loss of strength and velocity out of that arm. Not lost much in the brain power.
None.
But one of the best we'll ever have seen, ends up with two Super Bowls on his record and oodles of passing records and win records and all those sorts of things. Five MVPs. And Glass, I know you say you root for the team, and I'm totally with you most of the time there, but Peyton Manning's one of those guys that after watching him this long and the way he handled himself for that many years, the way he did under some bad circumstances sometimes, I can't help but respect the guy certainly out there as a competitor. He's been amazing in some very tough situations. Maybe he caused some of them, but to take it with the grace that he did over time and still be a champion a couple different times is fantastic.
I don't know why that would surprise anyone.
Yeah.
He's always been prepared. He's always been ready to go. It's the physical ailments, as you accurately mentioned, that have slowed him down. It has nothing to do with his want or preparation, but as Jordan will tell you, as any of those guys will tell you, it stinks when your brain says, hey, do that real fast, and your body's like, oh, hey, I'm back here.
Wait a second. Catching up.
I can't dunk.
Wait on me.
Whew. Yeah, I want to throw that 25-yard out to the other hash mark. Can't do it. Why? Well, it doesn't matter why. Go out on top. You don't have to sit here. We're not going to sit here next November and say for the second year in a row, he's got 9 touchdowns and 18 interceptions.
Right.
Come on, dude. Come on. Because you never want to tell a guy, and you shouldn't, because it's their life. You can do what you want. If the team chooses to cut him, that's one thing. If nobody chooses to sign him, that's another thing. But if he wants to play for the Jacksonville Jaguars, God bless him. He can do anything he wants. We as selfish people in the media, we as selfish people as fans, don't want to see that happen. But if he chose to do so, I don't think we could get mad at him, Dave, just like we couldn't be upset when he decided to sign with Denver. That was a situation that long-term, and Colts fans that are upset about that, you're allowed to be upset. It's America. It's a wonderful country. The long-term ramifications would be Peyton Manning would be retiring right now as a Colts quarterback, and that doesn't mean the Colts would have won a Super Bowl last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can connect those dots, and you can say what if. The what if game, the hypothetical game, is fantastic, but what we know is it didn't happen. It didn't happen in Indianapolis. The Colts decided to part ways with it. There's going to be some deal for him coming up next week at the Colts Center.
Yeah.
He will be thanked here in Indianapolis. It's not like it's not like this bad blood divorce that not going to happen.
He's going to go in your ring of honor. He's obviously a Hall of Famer.
The reason he retired or had his press conference in Denver is that's the team he's still contracted to play for, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. He's still under contract to what? Next week, today, tomorrow?
I don't think it's up yet.
So that's why he did that. So anybody wants to draw any or say he hates or there's bad blood or anything
else. Bill Polian was at the place too.
Again, these are never fun to do. They're never easy to watch because you know what it means. It means we're all getting old.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how long have you been watching?
Peyton Manning, gee whiz. I remember when I was upset when Charles Woodson beat him out for the Heisman Trophy and had no dog in the Tennessee fight.
Yeah, I mean, the four straight games against Florida, I think he lost.
You can't spell Citrus Bowl
without UT. Nice.
And then you sit there and you grind and you grind about who should they take, Lee for Manning. Mm-hmm. And Peyton got emotional today when he was talking about those first couple years in Indianapolis. His grandfather, Papa, asked him, he said, hey, why don't Pat Summerall and John Madden ever do any games? Well, Papa, we're not very good. The reason they took me last year is because, we weren't very good. And then his analogy was the next year when they did a little bit okay. Then they went and played Dallas where – mm-hmm. Pat Summerall and Madden were there, and he had a big game, and they won. And he said that's what kind of put the Colts on the map,
that's
what we did. We put Indianapolis on the map with football. And Jim Harbaugh had a little bit to do with that beforehand. AFC Championship game should not be thrown away or dismissed.
It didn't last real long.
But what it did is it validated the drafting of Manning. Because Manning's first year, a lot of people sweep this under the rug. Yeah. He had 647 interceptions.
Oh, yeah.
At least. Absolutely. He had almost two a game.
I think it was 24 or 26.
No, I keep going. Yeah. I want to say it was almost 32 or 34. It was a lot.
It was, high
20s.
That'll be our
trivia. But the point was it was almost two a game.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a lot.
And
when
you had to have that argument, whether it was Leaf or Manning, and you have this first season where you're pulling your hair out going, dude, stop throwing the ball away. You're killing us.
Yeah.
And you have to be patient, and you have to let guys grow up, and then all of a sudden he's got 54 touchdowns in a year, and he's doing this, and he's Super Bowl champion. He takes you back to a Super Bowl, and one of the greatest regular season quarterback. There is no question about that. Brady's close. I'm going to give Brady close, but Brady doesn't have five MVPs.
28 interceptions.
That's a lot.
26 touchdowns.
That's a lot. Yeah. But the point is, five MVPs.
Yeah.
Tom doesn't have five MVPs yet. He doesn't. Nope. So I can make the argument that he's the greatest quarterback in the regular season in history. I think he was a better quarterback than, if you want to throw Favre. Would Favre have three or four MVPs? Four. It's close. He had a lot.
I think he was better.
I don't think it was by much.
Favre was a gunslinger.
He was.
Peyton was the kind of a general. I mean, he was in charge of everything.
Favre was a high risk, high reward,
he did.
And he's a window thrower. He snapped it in there. But Manning tore you apart.
Yeah.
Picked you apart. You want a guy.
There's a reason Peyton Manning ended up in four Super
Amen.
Bowls. I mean, he had some good teams around, no question.
You want a guy to bring you back to death when you get no chance? You probably go Favre. You want a guy for a three touchdown lead in the fourth quarter? You take Manning. It's not even close.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah. Pick you apart from the first play.
That's exactly right. And make you have to be uncomfortable all night long. And, greatness, and we got to see it. That's a greatness.
And here, I'll tie the themes together tonight. Guys that worked on their craft off the floor, and not just Peyton Manning, but this team this year, you saw everybody on this team end up working, getting better, and that's what it takes.
Not in trouble. Not doing dumb things.
People don't see that stuff, and they don't understand it, and they don't realize it until they see what happens through the course of your career, your season, whatever it might be.
And I will
It takes so much of that, and Peyton Manning knew more about the game plans than the coaches half the time.
And I'll add one more to that as well. Lots of teams work hard. Not a lot of teams win. You still have to win.
And
Peyton Manning won a ton.
Not everybody works as hard as other guys. But
exactly,
you're exactly right. Everybody
There's
works.
A lot of teams that think they're working really hard, and then they get unlucky, or they get a couple bad apples at the bunch. So that's why you enjoy these moments, and we should all enjoy and thank Peyton Manning, especially those of us in Central Indiana who maybe hadn't gravitated to a football team growing up. It was easy to become a Colts fan because even though Peyton has some skeletons in the closet, everybody does, that wasn't an issue. Year in and year out, season in, season out. It was, how many games are you going to win? When are you going to win another Super Bowl?
Yeah.
How are you going to beat Tom Brady in the
championship
game?
We were mad he didn't go to enough Super Bowls.
You know why?
That's a nice problem to have.
You know why? Because that's how good he was.
Yeah, that's a nice problem to have.
That's how good he was.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back with you Wednesday. We'll preview the Big Ten tournament. IU, of course, outright champs. So they are the number one seed and don't have to play till Friday at noon. Tomorrow night, Joe Smith Sports Talk, live from Yogi's right here on WGCL. And we will talk to you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.